This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Actually, pretty big stories that have happened really today, this morning. And both probably were in place yesterday, but the official announcements came today. One is the announced settlement for Deshaun Watson. We'll get into that in a second. And the other is the Big Ten's television deal, which is a very, very, very large and lucrative deal. And frankly, everybody in the office in Greensboro probably a little envious of all the zeros.
Are they still trying to figure out if they're going to Charlotte or not?
I'm telling you, your offices can be anywhere if you're pulling in $1.2 billion a year just off of television.
Yeah.
Just off of television. A couple of years ago, the ACC's TV-only deal, right? This just media rights brought in about $17 million per school. Now, that's not what the ACC distributed, because there are a lot of other things that go into what you distribute to each school. So, and they were like $32 or $33 million. So if the Big Ten is bringing in $1.2 billion a year when this thing kicks in a couple of years, wow. Anyway, all right, it's time to unveil the results of the poll and maybe kick around a few other things. What should we talk about? Dennis, at the Fan Rookie, tweeted out earlier today. The LeBron James extension.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody cares. Mets Braves, 14%.
Yeah. I was actually surprisingly kind of low.
Best pitcher on earth, Jacob DeGrom, going today. Why isn't this game an afternoon game? Why are we doing another night game?
TV.
Getaway day.
TV.
Getaway. Who cares? Getaway day. Should be an afternoon game. But it is tonight, 7:20. Max Fried, excellent pitcher. Jacob DeGrom, he's okay at that too. Should be a fun one. A Mets win means that they win the series 2-2. Because when you are a chaser, and we are into the last third of August, when you are a chaser, well, not quite in the last third of August, then if you don't win the series and don't gain ground, you've lost time. So the Braves need to win this series. I would even declare that a 3-1 series win is sort of treading water. The Mets are ahead by 5 in the loss column. Still a lot of games to not lose for the Braves the rest of the way. There are still, I believe, 3 more games left between New York and Atlanta the rest of the way. So, but two excellent teams going at it. The Patrick Reed lawsuit, which as soon as Golf Channel, actually their parent company is Comcast, right? As soon as Comcast files a motion to dismiss, that motion will be granted, because it is quite possibly the dumbest lawsuit ever. In fact, the lawsuit and what they have used to cite as reasons to sue Brandel Chambly of Golf Channel and Golf Channel really reflect way more poorly on Patrick Reed than they do on Brandel Chambly. Because all Chambly is doing is offering his opinion. He is not saying, he's not offering as fact other than, well, Patrick Reed has cheated a lot. Because that's not deniable. All the other stuff is just an opinion about his personality and his character, and he is protected under free speech for that.
Yeah,
he's doing his job. He's not saying that Patrick Reed is, you know, a criminal. He's not using that. He's a criminal. He's not saying that.
He's not spreading lies.
No. He's honestly telling the truth.
Yeah.
But this lawsuit is really very comical. And there's actually a section of the lawsuit. in which they list all the things that Reed has been called by fans on the golf course. What?
Okay.
Like, seriously.
Like, that has anything to do with
you
it.
You put that in the lawsuit. Yep, they okay. did. All right, and the what won was the Panthers, which we had just talked about, the Sam Darnold versus Baker Mayfield. It's going to be Baker, and we're going to talk about that with Darren Gant in just a couple of minutes. But I did want to break from this and just discuss two things very quickly. One is the Deshaun Watson, because this is brand new from today. And this the Deshaun Watson settlement was announced maybe 20 minutes before the show started. Like, we knew it was coming. We just didn't know when. But about 20 minutes before the show started, the announcement came that there was a settlement between the league and the Players Association. Here's a statement from Deshaun Watson today. I'm grateful that the disciplinary process has ended and extremely appreciative of the tremendous support I have received throughout my short time with the Browns organization. I apologize once again for any pain this situation has caused. I take accountability for the decisions I made. My focus going forward is on working to become the best version of myself on and off the field and supporting my teammates however possible while I'm away from the team. I'm excited about what the future holds for me in Cleveland. He did not apologize for his behavior at all.
I actually have some sound here from Deshaun Watson.
Let's hear Deshaun Watson.
Is that accurate? Yeah, I'm moving on with my career and my life, and I'm continuing to stand on my innocence. Just because, you know, settlements and things like that happen doesn't mean that a person is guilty for anything. I feel like a person has the opportunity to stand on his innocence and prove that, and we prove that on the legal side, and we just got to continue to push forward as an individual and as a person.
Yeah. He's taking accountability. No, not really. You've just accepted your fate as somebody who was going to be punished. That's all you've done. Look, whatever. Again, part of the one of the components to this settlement was counseling. I don't know what good that's going to serve. He's clearly not in a frame of mind to say that, yes, I need help with this problem. I have to overcome my serial creepiness. He doesn't believe that. So what's the point?
By the way, to clarify the dollars of his fine, he was fined $5 million.
Right.
The $7 million comes from the NFL donating $1 million, as well as the Browns donating $1 million to $7 million to support the prevention of sexual misconduct and assault. So that's where the $5 million fine, plus $1 million from the Browns themselves and from the NFL.
Excellent. Good to see the NFL chip in $1 million for something they're pretending to care about. The other story is the Big Ten's TV deal, which will touch a little bit more than $8 billion over 7 years. It's about $1.2 billion a year for 7 years. Two things really, I mean, two major elements really jump out to me. One is that it's all, other than the component that goes to the Big Ten Network, it's all over the air. Like, all you need is an antenna, and you can watch the Big Ten. It's all you need. Mm-hmm. Fox will have the, you know, Big Noon kickoff, whatever they call it, and they get first choice of the game. Fox does. And then, especially 2 years down the road, when CBS is not kind of, just using air quotes here, hampered by also having the SEC, CBS will get the second choice of their game, and that game will go at 3:30. I think CBS gets second choice. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe CBS and NBC flip back and forth. And then, so it will be a Big Ten game on CBS in the 3:30 window, and then in prime time, NBC will get a game. So if you are a Big Ten fan and you do not have cable or YouTube or whatever, like if you just have an antenna,
yeah,
you can watch the Big Ten.
You can watch HD from an antenna.
And many people will tell you that the picture is better with an HD antenna, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is that if you're an ACC fan, you need access to ESPN. If you are an SEC fan, you need access in the future to ESPN. Like, there are games on over the air on ABC, right?
Yeah.
But for the most part, that's what you'll need. If you're a Big Ten fan, you know, games 4 through 8 on a Big Ten football weekend, those will be on the Big Ten Network. But the big ones, all over the air.
Some of them might be on FS1 as well. Peacock potentially could have some games as well. CBS Sports Network. So there's a lot of stuff. I'm just trying to think that you might, on a weekend, have Ohio State, Michigan kicking off at noon, and then potentially like Penn State, USC, and then Michigan State, Wisconsin, all just back to back to back.
I mean, this is why I said to Chip Patterson months and months and months ago that we are headed to a time where the Big Ten is the big player financially in college football, in college sports. And one quick thing about this deal as well, the fact that it's a 7-year deal. Remember when the ACC signed their deal a few years ago and it stretches all the way through 2036? The ACC wanted the long-term stability, which was, I love John Swofford, and he's not doing the deal on his own. He's doing it pushed by presidents. But holy cow, that's a bad deal. The Big Ten, which just lapped the ACC in money several times over, is going to get back to the market probably 3 years before the ACC goes back to the market again. Wow. It's a lot of cash. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can be willing to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value, golden ticket. We're going to put together for you your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. It's an all-Prince day. Nothing wrong with that ever. We don't need to be going to Minneapolis in our NFL Cities Tour just to bump with Prince all day. Probably do that. We can just make that a Thursday thing, if we're being honest. Darren Gant, Ask the Old Guy, Panthers.com, one of the greats of all time, just like Prince, the prince of NFL reporters. He joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Did you get into a fight with anybody from the Boston media yesterday or the day before?
No, but it's early yet. Mike Reese is one of those guys who's probably got a knife in his boot, so I'm not sure I want to mess with him. And Tommy Curran's got old man strength, so it's a testy group. I don't know that I want to mess with a lot of those guys.
I'm just curious, your perspective, like, it's football. Football players go to football player. Joint practices are going to get heated, blah, blah, blah. What the heck happened?
Well, I mean, two different things, really. And I think when, you know, it gets on the highlight shows and that kind of stuff, it becomes this great monolithic thing. But the Kenny Robinson situation was different. I mean, Kenny, the Patriots perceived him as standing over a guy and celebrating after a guy got knocked out. Christian Wilkerson apparently has a concussion, and they didn't like that. And right. So it was in a full speed thud kickoff drill, and you get guys running at full speed, and there's going to be collisions even when you don't want them to be big. If somebody's not expecting it, it can still be big. So, you know, that was unfortunate. Kenny probably should have got on out of there and not done that. The fact that he got kicked out the day before adds a little to that one. The McCaffrey one was honestly, and this sounds kind of twisted, but I think it's the kind of thing that they don't necessarily mind, because the Patriots took a cheap shot out of bounds at the Panthers' best offensive player. So what did the offensive line do? They bowed up. The guy. And I think it got out of hand, obviously, and it's unfortunate that it spilled out into the stands and that someone was a little bit hurt and had to get some medical attention. But at the same time, you know, I had seen in, you know, source my two eyes over the last couple of weeks, coaches talk about having your guys back, getting people up, don't let somebody be on your guy. So seeing that, you know, in a perverse football-y way, you're like, okay, they're getting the message. You don't ever want it to get out of control. You don't want to waste practice time and all that. But you don't mind seeing your football people doing football things and having a little edge when they do it.
Darren Gant, Panthers.com, is joining us. I have a question. Why are we practicing kickoffs? The NFL's trying to get rid of kickoffs. Why are we practicing them?
I mean, it's Bill Belichick. This is like the inner sanctum of special teams, man. Seriously, and I say that half in jest, but, you know, Belichick is the guy who has probably created as much of an edge for his team by getting a little bit extra on special teams. And, you know, they pay, you know, what you value and recognize you get usually. And they've paid guys like Matthew Slater, who have no role on offense or defense, to do this for a living. So they think it's important. The Panthers have put more importance on it. And as long as that's still a part of the game, you know, the Panthers must think it's sort of important because they went out and spent money to get Andre Roberts here.
Right.
Who's one of the best returners in the game. I agree. And if you wanted to have a different conversation about, should there be kickoff returns in the NFL? I'm happy to hear it, but it's here and it's happening, so you might as well get ready and do it well.
No, I agree with all of that, but it's clear from a league perspective, if they could wave a magic wand and eliminate the kickoff return and the punt return, like they would like to figure out a different way to change possession. But those are two important parts of the game that I don't want to see eliminated, but it's clear that the league is doing everything they can to eliminate kickoff returns.
And again, I'll hear some of those arguments, and I don't think they're necessarily wrong, but I also know that, you know, when you saw 34-year-old Andre Roberts take one 103 yards against the Chargers last year, that was exciting.
It's an incredibly exciting play. Look, you and I are of similar age. I think I'm older than you. But we remember watching, like, you know, a guy like Billy White Shoes Johnson returning a kickoff, a punt for a touchdown, or a Rick Upchurch. We remember a Thanksgiving Day game where the Bears beat the Lions. I think it was in overtime on a kickoff return. These are some of the most exciting plays in football.
Yeah, and I think Devin Hester's going to go into the Hall of Fame one day for being singularly excellent at that phase of the game. And it'll be interesting to see that as a lot of people like you, Joy Killer, are trying to phase it out of the game, that one of the greats at doing it all time is probably going to Canton for it.
Darren Gant, Panthers.com, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. All right, I've waited long enough. So according to a report in The Athletic, not from Joe Person, the decision's already been made. It's going to be Baker over Sam at starting quarterback for the Panthers. Without you telling me, of course, what is your read on who has performed better? What has been the difference between the two?
Here's what I'll tell you, Adam, and I'll say this. I've had, you know, whether it was in Canton or seeing people on camp tours, national reporters I've known for a long time have all come up to me and said, who do you think's going to win this quarterback competition? And I look at every single one of them and I say, who do you think's going to win this quarterback competition? Baker Mayfield was traded for with the idea of Baker Mayfield eventually starting, but I think they wanted Baker Mayfield to win the job, and Baker's looked pretty good. We wrote about it yesterday on Panthers.com.
Yes, you have.
You should read all about that on Panthers.com, and there'll be an Ask the Old Guy mailbag later this afternoon with more and more on this situation. You should read it and participate in our little community. Baker has gotten more and more comfortable in what they're doing. And there are little things you can see. You can see the way he talks to Ben McAdoo and Sean Wright. You can see the way he sort of talks to Matt Corral on the side. Baker sort of said yesterday, he said, I see a lot of myself as a rookie in Matt right now, and his head's swimming, and I'm trying to help him. So for a guy who walked in the door basically, what, 5 weeks ago, and it's like, hey, here's a playbook, catch up as fast as you can. For him to be able to teach in addition to just learn, I think is instructive. And I think it's been good to see. With these two guys always, you know, Sam had an advantage based on familiarity, but that went away at a certain point, and then you're just basing them on their bodies of work. And I think any objective observer could look at the four-year body of work of Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and figure out which one was better.
Yeah, there's no question. I also think that when you look at what both guys are about as players, Sam is a little bit more cautious.
Yeah.
And Baker is willing to let it rip. I mean, right. Baker will just to put it in a golf term, he's not afraid to attack the dog leg. He's not gonna lay it up in the middle of the fairway. He's willing to cut the corner. And
right. And guess what comes with that? Sometimes you hit it in a tree.
Yeah, but that's all right.
If Baker Mayfield's the quarterback, he's going to throw some picks. And I keep going back to 2003 when Jake DeLhomme won that job in a competition in training camp, came in at halftime of the first game and led him to a Super Bowl. That year, Jake DeLhomme threw 19 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. You're going to get some of both with Baker Mayfield, I think. But there have been moments, and you can tell, it makes a difference working with the first line as the second line. It also makes a difference when you're throwing it to DJ Moore instead of a bunch of guys who are going to be running down kicks or on the practice squad. Baker Mayfield likes throwing it to DJ Moore. Yeah. All quarterbacks do, because he's physical. He can go get it. He'll make contested plays. So, I think, you know, if that ends up being made official at some point, probably sooner rather than later, it's kind of what everybody expected all along. But it's because Baker has walked in and done the thing rather than just had it handed to him when he showed up on the doorstep.
All right. Another decision that was made earlier this week is Ike Ekwonu will be the starter at left tackle. What have you seen from him? And is it, I guess, they're hoping that Brady Christensen will slide inside and play left guard, no?
Yeah, I think that's the plan. And if that turns into your Jordan Gross and Travell Wharton for the next 4 years, I think people would be delighted by that. I think that would be a good thing for everybody. If it turned into a couple of guys who got to know each other and learned how the other one preferred to play and move and all that kind of stuff. So Ike is a different guy. I mean, not to tease out those comparisons to old teams in the past, but Ike is a more physical kind of left tackle than Jordan Gross ever was. When you see him in run drills,
yeah,
he moves people. He is not this big. Now, he is graceful, and he's going to pass protect better and better as he gets more comfortable, but he moves people in the run game, and that's the kind of aggressiveness, the kind of physicality you saw when he was at NC State. Yeah. And I think as he develops as an NFL player and it's his full-time job and he's training year-round for it, that strength is going to show up more and more.
He is graceful. He's a great athlete. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch him. He's also a super kid. All right, one quick thing, Derek Gant, before we have to say goodbye. With tomorrow night's game, do we know who's going to start the game and what the breakdown is of how long each guy will play in terms of quarterback?
We do not know that officially right now. I would suggest staying tuned to Panthers.com on, and all our affiliated channels throughout the weekend to get the latest on that. No, they haven't made any kind of announcements yet, but this game is going to be contested largely by the twos and the threes. I don't know how much you're going to necessarily see of Baker or Sam. They want to get Matt Corral some more reps and some more reps with a better grade of people around him, I think, than was contested in Washington the other day. And by the way, hail to the Commanders for throwing all the blitzes at a rookie quarterback in the fourth quarter of the first preseason game so they could try to win the first game in Commanders franchise history. Woohoo! Hang a banner, Dan. He needs work, though. That's the thing. Matt Corral led the weirdest game-winning drive in the history of football. While also nearly being decapitated. It's going to be a lot of twos and threes, at least on the Panthers' perspective. Don't know what Belichick's got planned. He didn't share that with me, and I wasn't willing to fight about it.
Darren Gant, you're the best. At Darren Gant on Twitter, two T's for extra talent. Ask the old guy, Panthers.com. Go read about Baker Mayfield feeling comfortable, because I already have, and I appreciate your time always. Enjoy.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. We'll see you soon.
You got it, Darren Gant. All right, we have reached the half. I'm excited.
And now your halftime entertainment.
All right, since I know you are very concerned, or you're heavily invested in this.
Very. I don't even know what you're talking about yet, but I am very concerned.
U21 World Lacrosse Championships are taking place in Limerick, Ireland.
Limerick?
Yes.
So you should report on this in Limerick fashion. Why aren't you doing that?
Because I don't know how to do that.
There once was a lacrosse player from Limerick.
Okay.
And you have to do the next line.
I don't know what the next line
who,
is.
Who once took a shot in his... Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, well, semifinals are taking place right now. Canada beat Australia earlier this afternoon. Facing off here in about 30 minutes, the United States and the Iroquois.
And the Iroquois?
Yeah, the Haudenosaunee actually.
Very nice.
Own representation, which I think is super cool.
I appreciate them not being part of the United States.
Yeah. They're represented in, as their own sovereign nation in these games, which is great.
Excellent.
So that semifinal takes place. Again, face off in about 30 minutes. USA did beat the Haudenosaunee earlier in the tournament in group play pretty handily. I think it was actually 13-2.
Well, then, United States against Iroquois.
Yeah, we're setting up a U.S. versus Canada rematch in
There's
the finals.
History there. Sorry.
There, a little bit. But yes, USA-Canada rematch from group play. USA won that one 7-5 to kick off the tournament. So, interesting to see. I know you're heavily invested in this. I actually tried to look up a betting line. I could not.
Well, it happens.
Unfortunately. Because obviously it would take the U.S. And I would give the goals or give the points. Lay the points, however you want to define it. Speaking of in sports world, I know we talked a lot already about the Big Ten, their new television network deal. Well, the ACC network and ESPN has actually struck a deal with Raycom. So Raycom, as many people know, was the broadcaster all the way through 2019 of men's basketball tournaments, local regional college football games, until they kind of essentially shut down their own operations in terms of broadcasting. Now, they still did provide some production for ESPN and ACC network. For some games and some events. Well, Raycom still had the rights to the women's basketball tournament as well as the ACC baseball tournament.
All those things that were on...
On Bally.
On the RSNs, absolutely.
Raycom has actually struck a deal with ACC to now have those rights to the ACC network.
There you go.
So that way we can actually watch the ACC baseball tournament on the ACC network.
The only things we had access to were the semifinals and the final, I believe.
Yep, that was it.
For the ACC baseball tournament. And, the women's basketball tournament should be on the ACC network. We shouldn't have, we shouldn't have to go to an RSN. And, for me, I was getting around not being able to watch the Hurricanes this year by getting a VPN and... getting the NHL package or getting ESPN Plus to watch Hurricanes games. But I couldn't watch if State was playing a basketball game on Bally's, right? Bally's Sports South, right? Couldn't watch it.
Nope.
Or if there was a football game on an RSN, couldn't watch it. Mm-hmm. Had to figure out another way to get it or not watch it. So, yeah, get it back to ESPN.
So, ACC Network's distribution, obviously, is much higher than Bally Sports South. the ACC network distribution, while it's not through the roof, it's about 42 million homes.
Right.
It's about roughly what it reaches. Obviously, that's below the SEC network, which is just over 51 million. And right now, the Big Ten network currently is at 48 million, though I anticipate that jumping up when USC and UCLA
coast to coast, man.
Yeah.
Coast to coast.
It's basically you're going to get all of California.
Yep.
Getting the Big Ten network as well. So that's going to jump up slightly.
And maybe the ACC and the Pac-12 will come up with some sort of a scheduling arrangement. And the ACC network will be in more homes.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Dickie V announced he's cancer-free.
He absolutely did yesterday. Did you see his speech from the ESPYs?
I did not.
He still, I mean, you could tell. I don't know if he's going to be able to do his job, right? I don't know if he's going to be able to do games anymore. He just doesn't have the same just capacity for projection. But he's just inspiring. Just absolutely inspiring. So, good for him. Congratulations.
I'm wondering if they're going to use him in, I like to call it the special moments type games, maybe for example, the season openers where they have, was it the Champions Classic where it's Carolina?
Yeah, it's going to be Shulman and Billis, though. I mean, assuming Shulman's still doing it, I think it's going to be Shulman and Billis, which is their top crew.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they would have him as a third mic on those.
Or they could.
When Duke Carolina play each other, maybe have him as a third mic.
They could incorporate Vital as a third guy, yet probably would be better.
Yeah.
You know, to not put the burden of being a lead analyst on Dick Vital, but. There's just no way to understate or overstate, if I could get this right. There's no way to overstate how important Vital has been to the growth of college basketball.
Yeah.
I would argue that Magic versus Larry, Leitner's shot at the buzzer, Vital, like, maybe three of the most important moments in the history of college basketball, or three of the most important entities or people. Vital came to ESPN before college basketball really took off.
Yeah.
And he made it. He made the sport. It's you just absolutely can't overlook that.
He was big for the Duke-UNC rivalry and ACC as a whole because that's what ESPN2 was built on. Like, they put a lot of college basketball games in there, and UNC Duke was a big staple to ESPN2, and Dickie V was the voice of that.
Year one of ESPN2, they put the Duke Carolina game on ESPN2.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to watch this? You got to make sure you get ESPN2. That's what they did.
It worked.
Yeah.
And now there's what, 10, 8?
ESPN 8.
Yeah, I think
the Ocho.
Yeah, there is the Ocho. So earlier this week was the 40th anniversary of E.T., the release of the movie E.T. There's actually a 40th anniversary limited edition gift set that you can get, Adam. Did you know this?
Can I get the bike?
No, that'd be great, though. That would actually be great. It's got to have a basket, though, so you can put E.T. in there. No, you actually can get a tin lunchbox with a thermos.
Wait, a lunchbox?
Yeah, you
can get a thermos?
A thermos in it. It's got a booklet, a little certificate of authenticity, you know, so it's official. And obviously, you can get the, like, on Blu-ray and 4K, you know, digital and all
that. I
want to
get
stuff.
A thermos.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually pretty excited. I'm like, I might get a lunchbox just to have a thermos. Now, I wonder if it's like the top when you pop it off.
That's
you can actually
fantastic.
Pour your soup, whatever, into the top and be able to drink your hot drink, whatever
Absolutely
it is out of that.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, there you go. You want a tin cup and a thermos?
I like it.
All right, in the world of gaming, I like to give people some gaming news out there, especially people who enjoy some retro gaming. For example, anybody that was a fan of the Doom video game series. For example, Doom 64, which... really, I guess you can say for a lot of fans, was the third installment of the Doom games. Doom 64, available for free on the Epic Games Store. Epic Games located right here in the Triangle. So there you go.
It's
North
free.
Carolina connection.
Everybody
free.
Loves free.
It's free until August 25th.
And then it won't be free.
Then it won't be.
It's doomed.
I got nothing.
There you go.
I got nothing after that.
I appreciate I've got nothing. You people watching on television.
I've got nothing.
All right.
I can't even move forward now with that.
That's it?
That's it.
Are you out? All right.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we are going to be in Minneapolis, not in St. Paul, right?
Correct. Those are two separate cities.
They are.
We're going to get into
they
that.
They have two separate mayors. We are going to get into that. Right?
Yeah.
They have two separate mayors. We were there for the Super Bowl a few years back, and Super Bowl Final Four a few years back, and interviewed both mayors at the same time, both young guys, although one of them, I'm not even sure which, is no longer the mayor of that city. But, yeah, two young guys, friends, like in their early 30s and mayors. Friends, it was very, very cool to spend time with those guys. St. Paul, if you are a craft beer guy or person, girl, if you're into craft beer, St. Paul's pretty, has some really, really good spots. I'm sure Minneapolis does as well, but we were in St. Paul for that and. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely cool. So I think a fun city. I've been there a few times and have enjoyed every time I've been in Minneapolis. Interesting that I've been in Minneapolis, but not Chicago.
That's weird.
Never. They don't have any Final Fours in Chicago.
That's a good point.
I've been to Minneapolis, all right? Right. So real quick, three quotes all about Deshaun Watson.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So Jeff Darlington's from ESPN, it was, you know, he's in Cleveland for this, tweeting out quotes from today. Here's Browns owner Jimmy Haslam. People deserve second chances. Well, Jimmy Haslam would know. Also, is this a second chance for Deshaun Watson? Or like a 26th chance for Deshaun Watson? Considering the breadth of the impact that he's made, that he's left. So that's Jimmy Haslam. Roger Goodell. Deshaun has committed to doing the hard work on himself. You keep thinking that, big guy. You keep thinking that.
Yep.
Also, interesting choice of words. Interesting phrasing from the commissioner of the NFL. Deshaun has committed to doing the hard work on himself. Not necessarily on himself. All right, so, and here's Deshaun Watson. I've always been able to stand on my innocence and always said I never assaulted or disrespected anyone. What Deshaun Watson is doing is clowning the other two guys. That's what he's doing. Now, I'm not under the impression that Watson offered his quote after hearing the other two, but stacked up against one another, this is comedy. Absolute comedy. It's unfortunate. I don't believe that today is a good day for the NFL.
No, it's not.
Right? I really don't. Now, they're taking $7 million and putting it towards programs that are going to further aid victims in this manner. Great. Good for the NFL. It's still not going to erase the stench of their level of disrespect. And it kind of shows throughout the league. Let's remember that the NFL did not really at all punish the Commandos. They didn't punish Dan Snyder. They didn't force Dan Snyder to make a decision on whether or not he still wanted to be part of this club. And the other owners, they could have done that. They could have told Roger Goodell, all right, it's time to get this clown out of here. But they won't do that because they know that Snyder probably knows where some skeletons are buried.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, let's move on and play some bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death! Okay, you can owe me. I owe you this.
It really is just an unbelievable quote from Deshaun Watson when you read it after the quote from Roger Goodell. He's dedicated to doing the hard work on himself. No, he really hasn't.
No.
He just wants it to go away. That's all. That's all. He just wants. I want this to be over. Oh, well. All right, Dennis Cox. You picked up a win last night, right?
I did.
Good for you.
I earned 20 units yesterday amongst all my bets.
That's
hey, it's better than losing.
It's very good. Connor Bedard scored the first goal for Canada. The win over, well, they were not playing the Czechia. They were playing Latvia last night. But Canada and Connor Bedard scored first. That was big for the coffers. I got a win in Champions League qualifying from Maccabi Haifa. And I lost my other Braves. Braves did not win. Braves lost to the Mets. So I donated for a Mets win.
Hey,
very exciting.
Good for you.
I'm playing that psychological warfare. All right, go first.
All right, Juan Soto for the Padres at home against his former team, the Nationals, hit a home run, plus 425.
You're going back to the Juan Soto.
Yep, going back to
it. I like it. I like it. I think that's a good idea. I really do. I think it's a good idea. All right. Let's start. This is Europa Conference qualifying.
Okay.
It's a soccer match that is happening today. Between Young Boys.
Who?
Young Boys.
Okay.
Top team in the Swiss League. Was it Jordan Pefok from U.S. men's national team was their star last year.
Who?
He has moved on to, Berlin to play in the Bundesliga.
Okay.
But yeah, they're tops right now in the Swiss League against Anderlecht, who is in the top part of the Belgian top league. Two good clubs. I will say a draw at plus 255.
There you go.
A draw. Yeah, we got you. Draws, that's where the value is.
They really are. That's why on Saturday in EPL action, I'm going Fulham versus Brentford draw, plus 245.
Oh, you're already going to the Premier League?
Yeah.
By the way.
I've got a lot of lacrosse bets to make.
That's a very big match for Fulham. I think Fulham has to win that match. I mean, look, they've picked up draws in their first two, but at some point, the losing is going to set in. I think it's a match that Fulham has to win. I really do. As I just slip into Premier League analysis here. Europa qualifying. Europa Conference League. Europa's a step ahead of Europa Conference League. Olympiakos from the Greek League. This is interesting. This is Olympiakos versus Apollon Limassol, which is from, I believe, Cyprus.
Okay.
The Greek League versus Cyprus? Really? This is like a civil war. We'll say a draw as well.
Okay.
This is Limassol is hosting.
They're going to sink each other into the Mediterranean?
Something like that. So plus 215.
All right, because we're a couple of degenerates, got to go Bears-Seahawks tonight.
Oh.
Preseason football. Give me the Bears to win over the Seahawks at plus 145.
Bears at plus 145. I'm doing a parlay on this game.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing. I wanted to bet, like, Justin Fields is going to play two series tonight.
Yeah.
And I appreciate ESPN throwing the questions out. Are the Bears setting up Justin Fields to fail? Well, I don't know if they're setting him up to fail, but it's almost certain that he will. They did nothing for their offense.
No.
They brought in N'Keal Harry, who got hurt. Of course, N'Keal Harry is a terrible wide receiver. He's a very good blocker, but he's a terrible, like, receiving target. Justin Fields, they gave him nothing. The Bears are, their defense might be good, but I don't know, man. Are the Bears and Seahawks might be two of the worst teams in the league this year.
Yeah.
They might be
Both
two of the worst teams in the league.
Stink.
Are they playing? Who are the Bears playing tonight?
The Seahawks.
Oh, they are playing the Seahawks. Yeah. Gosh, don't watch that. Don't watch that.
Plus 1.5.
All right, I got the Bears minus or plus 3. I think the Bears plus 3 and under 39.5 in a parlay.
Okay.
Bears plus the points, under 39.5 at plus 264.
Okay.
It's the only way to make, will I watch the game? No. No. No.
No.
No. And look, watching the Panthers in the preseason, that's enough. I mean,
it's all gross.
Have you watched any of the Steelers?
No, actually, I watched a couple highlights.
That's your team. That's your side.
I don't have NFL Plus. I can't watch all the preseason games.
I don't subscribe
to NFL Plus.
But you have the NFL Network, right?
Yeah.
So all the NFL Network does
is just replay games.
I'm pretty sure during the week is just replay games that aired.
Yeah, that's what they do.
So, perfect time to do it, right?
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.